Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning and to fellowship and to worship in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing and a privilege for all those that have made the efforts to be here this morning and those of the Ravana local that were allowed to be with us this morning. And that is a blessing to us. That's a blessing to us. And we know that it was hard to know when we got on the roads this morning, you know, just how they were going to be. I know that seemed to be okay where we were at and in different areas and as far as people may come from here. It's hard to know until you get out on the roads, isn't it? Some were had to turn around, go home, and the Lord's wisdom prevailed on their behalf, I'm sure. And there are those that his strength was upon them, and they made it here. And you know something? It is a witness to us, really, about how life is, isn't it? It's a witness to us about life is. And sometimes we don't understand just how difficult the road in life is until we get out on it. And we just don't know. And sometimes until... and what we pray for is for His wisdom and for His discretion and for strength. Because sometimes you don't know. And that's where we need good spiritual discernment. That's where keeping ourselves close to our Lord and Savior, keep ourselves close to our brothers and sisters, those whom God has also called out of the world in order to be there for one another. And it's called the body of Christ. You know, I was thinking as my brother was introducing me here a moment ago. We were living up in Gaylord. And, you know, we were kind of doing our own thing. I'd go out and I'd do hunting or fishing or working on the house or all the things that I just, you know, just out playing, if you will. And you know, God has a way of, He may let you do that for a while. If He's got use for you, you know, He's going to come knocking at your door. I know that's what He did with me and my family. And I know that there are those that were sent for explicit reason, I know. Especially now, years later, and realize the fruits of those things. And one of those groups of missionaries, Aaron and Sue and Gail, they came up there, and we got very well acquainted and become dear friends. And it's the way in which the Lord reached out, and He does that through His precious servants, His children. And we know that there are others that also come by, and because God knows in wisdom all these things, how they come about, He knows the. He knows our heart. I think He knows our thoughts and so on and so forth, because my heart and my ideas or whatever never left the Lord. And I never stopped loving Him or whatever, because I was raised in the gospel for many years. You know, but sometimes you kind of stop off in a rest area in life somehow. And but the Lord has a work. Jonah was mentioned this morning in Sunday school. That here he was told, you know, you've got to work. You've got a work to do. And he was told to do a task, but thought he'd take a waylay. Thought he would do his own thing for a while. And didn't tend to what he was supposed to. Well, the Lord showed him in no uncertain terms that wasn't the case. And he tried to avoid it. Sometimes we avoid the battle. Sometimes we avoid what we know to be true or what we know that we should be about. Sometimes we avoid that. And God has a way of leading us or getting us or getting our attention in life. He's got a way of doing that. And if we're definitely workable material, you know, we'll listen. We'll hear. God has a way of doing that. And I appreciate all of His blessings, and I appreciate each and every one of you. And I say this many times, but I say this in testimony and in joy, that if it weren't for Jesus Christ, I wouldn't know a good share of you. And so I I am caused to praise my God and to rejoice. I was praying and I was pondering over what to talk about this morning. I do have some interest in your prayers. And I have some thoughts and some scriptures, and was caused a question or wondering, what is a person worth? What is a person worth? And you know, you start thinking spiritually about the scriptures, about what the Lord had given us for His Word. And you see so many thoughts, so many scriptures come into play, how the Lord has talked about mankind, how He's talked about their existence here, talked about, you know, what His view is upon them, even to how they're created. Because His Word was penned for our behalf. And it is to upon the worth of a human being. I want to take a look at some of those scriptures that have to do with that. And I may ask you for the first little portion of our message this morning to hold on to your pew a little bit. I'd like to take a look over in the book of Genesis, first of all. The book of Genesis in the first chapter, and I'd like to read a couple of verses. And basically, I'm going to be going to the 26th, starting at the 26th verse. And we see before this time the awesome, majestic, awe-inspiring power of the Lord, responsible for creation through His Son, Jesus Christ. We see all things that were created on what particular days and the time frame that they were created. And we find that they were created out of nothing. We find that things were wielded into existence by the Spirit of the Lord and His power. We find that on certain days, certain things appeared, certain things were created and moved into existence. And they were moved at the will and pleasure of the Lord. They were created at the will and pleasure of the Lord. And so we find in verse 26, and we find on the that God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created him in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth." And we find that He breathed into them the breath of life. They became a living soul. Okay? And over chapter 2, verse 7, says this, what I just mentioned. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Okay? And then we find over in chapter 3, verse 19, we know that there was a great disobedience. We find the reason for a Savior when there was disobedience to the commandment they were given to not eat of the tree of life, the knowledge of good and evil. But if they were eaten of the tree of life after eating of the knowledge of a tree of good and evil, if they had eaten of the tree of life, they said the plan of God would have been frustrated, but that's another story. We won't go into that. But because of disobedience is the main thrust of what I wanted to say there, that this was done, that they would be cast out from the Garden of Eden, which was a perfect place, and Adam and Eve were created perfect in the beginning. Remember, they were without flaw. And the genetics thereon, thereafter, and the reason for the old law and some of the laws there, we won't get into. We've talked about that before, but we won't get into that. And that's not the subject that we're into today. But he says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, and thou return till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Those of us that are sitting here, and those of us that did, and those that you shall come in contact with today, and those that you'll meet in your workplace and in the marketplace and wherever you may go today, who you ever may see, was made of the dust or the elements. The elements of what we see. From dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. Boy, that's a wonderful thing to think about, isn't it? What is a person worth? You say that I'm worth dirt? Makes me feel pretty good, Brother Adam. You bring me here to be encouraged. Now you're telling me I'm like dirt? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go on a little bit further and see what the Lord says. And that the Lord, first of all, He created us. Now, what is the percentage? They say that we're what? At least 90% water? Is that about the way it is? And the rest of it is up the elements. And so what we find really is we have dust of the earth and God's breath and image, don't we? We find that we're made of the dust of the earth, God's breath, and in His image. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and He made us in His image. So we find a little bit more about ourselves, don't we? So we find ourselves coming up a little bit in our attitude here about what we may think about ourselves. So we're a little more divinely created, other than we just talked about dust. Now we're talking about God's breath and in God's image. So we're a little bit special. But you know that, and so we find ourselves put in dominion, because we know that the beasts and other things, they were made of the elements as well. But man was made a living soul. Okay, I would like to turn you over into the Book of Mosiah on page 213 of your Book of Mormon. Page 213. And I'd like to make you feel good once again. And here we find King Benjamin. King Benjamin's given his final proclamation or exhortation or his imploring them to keep the commandments of the Lord and tell them who they are in the sight of the Lord and so on and so forth. And he goes on to say in 61 and 62... You cannot, he says, actually let's go back to verse 60. "And now I ask, can ye say aught of yourselves? I say unto you, nay. You cannot say that you're even as much as of the dust of the earth, and yet ye were created of the dust of the earth. But behold, it belongeth to Him who created you. And I, even I, whom ye call your king, am no better than ye yourselves are, for I am also of the dirt, of the dust." And we find that he is acquainted with his shortness of time. We're all given a piece of time, and he's beginning to fully realize the full brunt of his age, of where he's been in his life, what he's accomplished in his life, where he's about to go. And he says, "And ye behold that I'm old, and I'm about to yield up this mortal frame to its mother earth," or back to the elements once again. "Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return." And he says, you know, you're as much the dust of the earth. And then it says, it belongeth to Him who created you. The dust belongs to God. And when we leave this earth, you know, there's something different about you and I. And we have to take and realize, you know, and the intrinsic question, the inherent question, what is a person worth? It says that, like Job said, he says, you know, naked I came into this world. It basically says that's the way I'm going to go out. You know, we carry nothing into this world, we'll carry nothing out. And we have to find how basic our human existence here is here, even though we've surrounded ourselves with many things and many thoughts and ideas and intelligences. But how basic our existence really is. Now, over on, I would like to go back to verse 52 there on page 212. And I wanted to start there ahead, but now I'm going to go to some verses preceding. I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls have power to possess to that God who's created you, and has kept and preserved you, and has caused that you should rejoice, and has granted that you should live in peace one with another. I say unto you that if you would serve Him who has created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending your breath, that you may live and move, and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another. I say unto you, would serve Him with your whole soul, yet you would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that He requires you of you is to keep His commandments. And He has promised you that you would keep His commandments, you would prosper in the land. And He never doth vary from that which He hath said. Therefore, if you do keep His commandments, He doth bless you and prosper you. And now in the first place He hath created you, and granted unto you your lives, for which you are indebted unto Him. And secondly, He doth require that you do as He hath commanded you. For what you do, He doth immediately bless you, and therefore He hath paid you. You are still indebted unto Him, and are, and will be forever and ever. And therefore, what have you to boast? Now I ask you, can you say aught of yourselves? I answer you, nay. We are indebted unto Him. And you realize of His majesty, His power, and His glory. Because He took of the elements and He wheeled it into existence by His breath, His spirit, that which can move and think and perform and decide. They say that the human brain is greater than any supercomputer that it's been invented and more complex and can think. And reason and all those things, and that if you look at any particular part of the body, it is a miracle wonder, and they can try to duplicate it, and they can try to manipulate it. But they say matter can neither be created nor destroyed, only transformed. That's within our laws of physics. God creates, and God has created, they say, ex nihilo, out of nothing. And it says, I believe it's what is it in the book of Psalms, that He created the stars and He hangeth them about on nothing. He hangeth them upon nothing. And in creating all that, He knows who you are. He knows exactly who you are. He knows how many cells are in your body and the hairs upon your head. And He cares whether you have enough clothes on your back and enough food in your belly and a place to sleep. He cares. And He wants to bless you. Now there are those that want to walk at variance to His blessing and outside the hand of His blessing and take life upon themselves and run the rail outside the pasture of the Good Shepherd. And many people don't want to believe and don't want to live and serve Him. And like King Benjamin said that all He asks is to keep His commandments and He doth bless you. And can we ever know how great and how valuable a blessing is? There is I would like to take into turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes in the third chapter. Ecclesiastes, after Psalms and Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, or however you'd like to pronounce that. In the third chapter. I'd like to start at verse 16. You know, I'm going to bring in a battery for the clock. I keep a look at the clock, and it's already I'm already way over. And I know a lot of you are shaking your heads at me and saying, "Yeah, but we know that's possible." You heard Brother Adam speak before. You know that's possible. I told Aaron before I come up here, I said, "You know, but it is right twice a day." And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart, concerning the state of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them as one dieth. The one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, and so that a man hath no preeminence of the beast for all his vanity. All things shall have their existence in time and place and opportunity. All go into one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to the dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Remember, man was given the breath of life, and man was given a soul, and the others weren't given that opportunity. Therefore, I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that in his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? There will be a time here, but there will be a time to come when we will embrace eternity that we don't even have a concept of. That clock that I'm looking at won't have any value whatsoever, which right now without a battery it doesn't anyway. Won't have any need of those things. But what he wants to say is that even with the animals and such, they have a period of time and they move according to the order of nature and operation that God has created and designed them for. And I believe they have a specific, marvelous design that God has created them for. And I believe that they are as God created them and not as evolved species. It's not nonsense. That's nonsense, and that's not what the geologic library we see out there tells us. But there will be a place of judgment, and so far this morning you're saying, "Oh, Brother Adam, you're telling me that trying to tell me of the dust of the earth, and you know, this is not lifting my spirit very much." Well, we're going to. But what God wants us to understand about humbleness and meekness, who we are and who He is, who our view of His majesty, first of all. I have to understand that we were created, and created powerfully, and we were created specially, and we were created wonderfully. But you know something, there's a statement that came to me this morning, and this may take you back for a minute. God does not need us. God does not need you, and God does not need me. What if your parents said, "I don't need you"? That takes you out back from it, doesn't it? You said, "That doesn't make me feel very good." But you know what about God that I have learned? I believe that His Scripture declares that God wants me. There's a difference. And God loves me. And God loves you. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-majestic, all things, and omnipotent. He is self-subsistent. He has all he is. He has always been and always will be. But we were created for His pleasure and for His design. And I believe that in a scripture, which I won't get into, but I'll talk about a little bit later on, about why we're here. But I believe that, like I said, He may not need us. And God's work, and God's plan, and His prophecy, revelation, revealment, where all things play out on this world stage, the prophetic stage, you know, concerning all things, judgment, consignment in eternity, they will go on no matter what, with or without us. God has said that He says, I'm able to do my own work. It is your choice if you want to come along. I love you. I want you. I don't believe that God... I believe that God has not created us, you know, in haste or in is a mistake. And I believe that there is a purpose for every work, as it says in Ecclesiastes. Because God wants me. And God loves me. And God has a divine plan for who I am and where I am at and my purpose for being put upon this earth, divinely created with the breath of life. I believe there was a divine purpose. And I believe that's where you may talk about predestination. I think He destined people at birth to be saved. He's not going to create people for damnation. Why would He do that? But we're given time, a chance, an opportunity, and how we live out this life and the piece of time that we're given. There may be all sorts of instances or situations that people are into or what they have learned or not learned and all that's taken into as to when they stand before Him at judgment. All that aside, given time and opportunity and chance. And there are situations. And there are all sorts of manifold situations in the world. But I do not believe that God created us for the purpose of damnation. So I believe that's where we talk about He's destined people to come to Him in salvation. But it's up to choice. But it's up to choice. And like He says, there is a place of judgment. And when we go there, you could also quote 2 Corinthians 5:10, the judgment seat of Christ. That all work will be taken into consideration, or which shall show the work of Christ upon our heart, or however our life was lived. And which brings me to another point, and I'd like to take a look, if you will, over into the book of Luke in the 15th chapter. Book of Luke in the 15th chapter. I'd like to read verses... Luke 12. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. Luke 12, and I'd like to start at verse 15. And He said unto them, and this is Jesus, of course, take heed and beware of covetousness, wrongfully wanting things. For a man's life consisteth not in abundance of the things which he possesseth. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought there in himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my gifts and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, it says an awful lot, doesn't it? It says a lot about a lot of things in our life. Not just what increase that we may get from monies. It says about all our attitude that we may have about God. And Mark 8, the book of Mark, in the 8th chapter. And I'd like to verse 35 through 37. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? And he talks about whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father, you know, with the holy angels. We say that we've read the scriptures, you and I, that we, when we came into this world, were we holding on to anything? Did we have a stock portfolio in our hand, or a stack of bonds or whatever when we came into this world? Or did we? What did we have when we came into this world? Basically, come out. It's cold out here. You get a spank on the behind or whatever the matter. And what a way to be welcomed, huh? But you didn't bring anything into this world. Hopefully you had the loving parents to be there and took care of you and loved you. And how about when we go in through this life and you can only answer this for yourself. Do you feel at ease about where you're at in life right now? Do you feel at ease? Okay, just like you told the rich man there, tonight thy soul is required of thee. Okay. Here you are standing before the judgment, you know, seat of Christ. It says immediately that when we leave this life, you know, that we go back to that God that gave us life. We shall stand before our Maker. Right now. If I were to die right now, I'm to stand before Him. Okay? What will be there? Do you feel at ease? What are you thinking about? How would you be able to answer Him? Okay? How would you feel? Let's just say right now, you have nowhere to go. How many of you here have a house to stay in or a warm place to sleep right now? Okay? It's all gone. That house belongs to someone else. It is not yours. How many of you have some investments for retirement going right now? You go ahead and raise your hands. That's fine. Are you trying to take care of your future a little bit? Rick is not. Rick says, I'm going to go over to Kathy's house and I'm going to eat with Kathy and Jesse and so on. That's how I'm going to take care of it. And I like Larry's plan. Larry says, we're going to go over to Randy and Mary's and we're going to eat during that and time of tribulation as well. Well, you know something? We may need to take and get together. Especially during times of tribulation. And I don't doubt that whatsoever. Okay? And this is, let's just say, like during the Depression, that everything, anything I have in here, oh my goodness, which I have more pieces of paper trying to remind me of that which I should remember than anything that I could spend down at the store. Well, here's a dollar. But during the Depression, they said that the money, and our sisters or brothers here could tell you that we're through their Depression, that money was no good, was it? It was no good. Or you couldn't, or you, there, it wasn't there. I mean, you just didn't have it, or you couldn't find a job, or whatever. They said money was not even worth. It was devalued. And today, you know, you want to see what that is like? You know, we go over to Canada. When we went to Canada before, that there used to be a 40% exchange. But today, it's the other way around. Where is your money? Most of your money is cyber. Most of your money doesn't even exist. Most of the money out there in the world does not even exist. Okay. Now you don't have a house. I've just taken it. And I've just taken all yours. And they're all to the side. I want you to think about that for a minute. All you have is the clothes on your back. And when you stand before God, guess what? You won't be wearing a green sweater or a pink one or a coat or the red plaid jacket. If that's red, if it's not, then forgive me. But hopefully you'll be wearing a white garment. Hopefully you'll be wearing a white garment. What do you think will endure past this time? You see? Because anything that you have now will be gone. Your loved ones are behind. No one can answer for you. You can only stand there with your heart to be read. You see. It is all gone. I think God wants us to understand that. That what is your plan? What is your plan for the future? You have to have a plan. And you have to have a Savior. There's another comment out of it. Do you believe? Okay. So you believe. And you believe? Okay, you believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Okay. I'd say most do here. And there are many that I have made up their soul salvation, faith, repentance, baptism. Very, very important, wonderful foundation. How about beyond belief? What are you doing to show that you do believe and have faith? We can sit and say we believe, but you know, the book of James says the devils believe. What do you do above and beyond the faith of a devil? We need to look into the mercies of Christ. And that we now are beginning, we're beginning to build toward the kingdom of God. Okay? Now we're trying to build the things that matter. The things that we've built in this life are gone, are nothing. They may take care of us. And we're just being made stewards over them. We're stewards over them. But even your house, you say that you own your house? I've said this before. You say that you own your house? That's not true. You say, I have a piece of paper. I have a piece of paper at home that says that I own my house. Let's try a little experiment. Don't pay your taxes for a couple years. Let's see who owns that house. Okay? We don't. And so the thing we need to do is, like I said, we're trying to apply to the mercies of Christ. When we leave this earth, we must leave with a Savior upon our heart and written in our life and in our ways. We have made out our soul salvation through Him. So not just enough just to believe, but to go on and to apply that belief, that there will be the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith. I'd like to take a look, if you will, while we're in the New Testament, over to Luke in the 15th chapter. Luke in the 15th chapter. I'd like to read verses 4 through 10. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saith unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto that likewise, joy shall be at heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I believe that there is that joy over those that repenteth and that walk. What we need to walk in repentance. And we need to build upon that foundation. And we need to fill that house. We need to fill the temple of the Holy Spirit. But here we find, one thing I wanted to point out here is we find, remember the question, what is a person worth? It's the kind of worth, it's the kind of value that one of God's creation repented or come to Him through His Son Jesus Christ. He repented or turned away from that which would bring spiritual death and that would be one that could inherit eternal life. It is that kind of value that is that salvation was prepared. It says that the angels even want to check into. It's that type of worth that the angels rejoice before the throne. That one of the those that were created in the image of Him. It is that kind of worth that a Savior was prepared and sent and died for us. It's that kind of worth. I'd like to take a turn, if you will, now over in John 3. We have a couple more scriptures that we need to get to here. John in the 3rd chapter. We find how important it is. It is that important that the Lord gives the example how precious it is that a person become a new person. And says, as it says in verse 3, here we talk about a ruler of the that it came to Jesus, Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, and Jesus answered, said unto him about, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you felt and have that peace about you? Did you have that born again experience? Do you feel a new creature? Do you feel that you're walking cleanly and wonderfully and lovingly in His commandments and keeping them? Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said unto you, that you must be born again. It is a new life in Jesus Christ. We are a new creature. And it is a foundation. And it says we got to be careful how we build thereon. And we found how important it is that a master builder was placed over your life and your soul. He is a wise master builder. He said, be careful how you build thereon. And we must build. And I was like, you know, I was upon my heart this morning as we were talking about, you know, furnishing the house where there was a spirit going out of a person. And at the tail end, there were several more came back to the house. And the worst state was the last state was worse than the first. That about that wise master builder and building thereon and that foundation that we must lay, that we got to be careful to keep building in our life. We got to keep building and putting the precious things, you know, to cover that and to build upon that foundation, that temple fit, you know, for the inhabitation of the Holy Ghost. And furnishing it with virtues. Furnishing it with virtues. And which we won't go there right now, but 2 Peter, 1st chapter, a little bit of homework for you. Specifically, you know, verses 3 through 9. Talking about virtues. Those are those things that we are to have inhabiting and furnishing and decorating the house. It is something that we need to be trying to keep clean and orderly and to keep the things of the world out. And there are things that we need to by loving discernment and knowing His Word, that we need to be wise about keeping out of our lives. And those are sins we know of. And things that are harmful to us. They're harmful in our life. And that God doesn't want us to put things in our life that harm. You know, there are things that we are needful for, you know, water and food and clothes and so on, and a warm place to stay and things like that. You know, there are things we shouldn't be doing in our life that are harmful to our bodies. You know, anyway, those are things that we each of us need to figure out. You know, and there are things that bring sorrow in our lives. There are things that we should be wiser about and not doing in our lives. They could make us sick, things that get us into trouble. There's all sorts of things that we don't even need to go into today, but well, the closer that we come in accordance with His will and spiritual understanding, that we will come to understand, to make good spiritual sound decisions, to live a good, clean, and a virtuous life. I would like to take and to turn, if you will, over to the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms in the 34th chapter. Once again, he said, what is a person worth? Now, we find about the righteousness that our Lord asks of us, you know, the desire to do that which is right in His sight, to take the energy to walk by faith unto endurance, to out of love keep the word of His patience. And it is that important, and the Lord values those that have chosen to come unto Him. He's willing to bless them. He said, you know, and that in a few short verses, He gives us a lot here. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Verse 15, Psalm 34. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Lord, out of our humbleness and meekness, why is it that Jesus said that the meek shall inherit the earth? Why do you say, blessed are the peacemakers, and not the proud, and the haughty, and the rebellious, and the sinful, and the prideful, and the rich? But it says it's the simple things of the world that do confound the wise. And if that were not so, and if that were not true, look at how many people walk in the pride of their hearts and in, with all that they have and can't find their way to Jesus Christ. The proof is there. We can see it. Those that you may walk by today, you know, pray for them. There will be many that may face damnation. God did not create them for that. And God loves them. And He wants them to be saved. But it's by choice, isn't it? It is by choice. I'd like to take a turn, if you will, to Proverbs 22. There are things that we can do and choices that we make, decisions and such, that cause a a respect in our life, the way people view us, a reputation. There are things that we cannot give ourselves. They're not things that we can go out and just get. And in Proverbs 22:1-6 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." You know, that's where good spiritual discernment, where spiritual decision making is very important. Some decisions we are very plain and they stare us right in the face. But we want to, because the things that we want, he says, "But the simple pass on and are punished." By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, and he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Those that keep his soul, you know, if it weren't that important, what is the armor in Ephesians 6 talking about? Why is it should one be preparing for battle? It says that there are powers in high places, principalities and so on. There's wickedness in high places. You know, that if the devil is going about roaring today, seeking whom he may devour, why is that and what is it about? And what is it are you protecting underneath the armor? It's a precious soul beneath that has that garment of righteousness that we are to be, you know, keeping bright and shining and away from the sins. The sins stain the garment of righteousness. And once again, about, you know, that we need to arm ourselves with His Word, with His Spirit, and we do that. We arm ourselves with His Spirit by trying to stay close to Him, by keeping His commandments, keeping the Word of His patience. It's more to be rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A person can work a whole lifetime to do the things they thought were right and build up a reputation and have a good name, and departing in some other whatever ways and doing things that are out of the sight of the Lord and out of the hand of His blessing, out of the hand of His protection, and ruin and unwind a whole lifetime. And a reputation and a good name is gone. Forever tarnished. Forever stained. It is something that takes eternal vigilance. One of the founding fathers of our country, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, he said, "The price of liberty is eternal vigilance." If we don't want to be entangled and bonded with the yoke of sin, it's eternal vigilance, living by faith unto endurance. And we find, and I'd like to read one more scripture to us this morning. We've heard it many times. And that is in the book of John, the third chapter. And if you'd like to turn to it, that's wonderful. And it says in the 14th verse, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And so, you know, that is something for us to ponder, and I hope these scriptures, that you would dig into them a little deeper and look into those things. And I hope it sinks deep into your heart as God laid it upon mine, what is a person worth? I thank you. Brother Aaron.